Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This, for me, was maybe the highlight of the night. Carrie went, literally, she went, "Ee!" I said, "What?" She says, "Rats!"
I love cops. I've hung out with cops for my whole adult life. Right. I just, you get me to a party, I've always said, if there's a cop, a surgeon, and an airline pilot, I'm all in.
But what if they're the same guy?
That can happen.
It can.
Yeah, surgeon makes citizens' arrests on the table.
That's right. Yes. And then flies away.
Oh, are the hours that he claims to keep, can you back that up, that the man is here morning, noon, and night? Is that accurate?
Well, noon and night.
That's all. You're off the hook, Rob Ford. You're off the hook.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, for Thursday, everybody. Glad to have you here. We are joined today with Oscar on his South American Odyssey by a guy that hasn't been visiting us in a long, long, long time, Mr. Rob Ford.
Yay, let's hear it for him.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Rob, you going to be joining us for the whole show today?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's awesome. Thrilled to have you here. And we've got lots to cover on today's show. Last night for me personally was bowling night. And
you seem refreshed.
Well, God. I'll get to that. Rob went to a concert. It's a very, very busy show. And then, of course, we have to catch up with Mr. Rob Ford.
Sure.
And then and then we'll finish and we'll go home. And
but we'll come back and do another one tomorrow.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yes.
I wanted to just get this off my chest because where do I start with this? When you are accused of being a Democrat, sometimes people on the other side of the aisle tend to label you as non-law enforcement. I don't think you can put anybody in a box, all right? And I consider myself kind of left. I think everybody that listens to the show knows that. But at the same time, I consider myself very, 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 very pro-law enforcement. Now, that is in large part because I get it. I believe I get it. There's a similarity that I've always found between people on the job in law enforcement and people that do what I do. There's a cynicism to it.
Yes.
And so I've always connected, and I have some very, very good friends of mine.
You love cops.
I love cops. I've hung out with cops for my whole adult life.
Right.
You get me to a party, I've always said, if there's a cop, a surgeon, and an airline pilot, I'm all in.
But what if they're the same guy?
That can happen.
It can.
Yeah, a surgeon makes citizens' arrests on the table.
That's right. Yes. And then flies away. Right.
As soon as I bring him back from the dead, I'm arresting him. So this was yesterday when they caught that guy in Pennsylvania, Danilo Cavalcante. Sounds like he could be a wonderful Latin performer.
Yeah.
And I'm listening, and immediately, nationwide, regardless of where you live, I'm sure you experienced what I experienced, with a bit of relief.
Yeah,
of course. Okay, because it was in the national headlines, and it was a big, big, big story. And the longer he was not captured, the bigger it got. And there's pressure on law enforcement in a situation like that. And you hear it all the time, and you hear it all the time, and you hear it all the time. And then they caught him, and they described what they went through. We'll get to that in a second, what these guys went through getting him. And then because I think people just need something to bitch about, they were talking about the controversy, in quotation marks, of a bunch of the first responders had a photo taken with the guy. And, I heard one particular anchor person say, well, Chief, they had one of the chief talking heads on, what do you think? Well, it's not the way I would have done it. And they made it a thing where they,
right.
I don't think they should have given 5 seconds to what is absolutely a non-issue for me. And it's just stunning how you know, people that are out there putting their asses on the line, and they get the guy. By the way, this is not somebody that's going to go to trial. This is somebody who is a fugitive.
Right.
And a convicted murderer, a multiple murderer. And, you know, I shake my head sometimes when, look, I'm the first one that's going to say, lock those cops up that, you know, that beat a suspect to death,
mm-hmm.
or suffocate a suspect or death. I mean, get rid of those bad guys all the time. But when you have this group right here that we see on the screen of guys that have been probably working multiple 24-hour shifts.
Right.
And they want their photo op because this is something that will maybe be the highlight of their career because mm-hmm. they succeeded. Knock yourselves out. Take multiple pictures. How about one for everybody? Leave the guy out there and let him be cold and everybody just take a picture, although it wasn't cold. We just create crap to bitch about in this country.
Just bitch about, it's divisive stuff. They create stuff.
Some sort of debate.
Yeah, and it's not.
Almost like trolling people on the left. You know,
yep, so, well, exactly.
I don't think they got.
Yeah.
Because somehow in certain people's minds, people that think politically like I do are going to be anti-law. No, nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to mention this, because when you think about this particular apprehension, these guys, there was weather. They lost their helicopter because the weather had to ground the helicopter. They had to go, so they didn't have that. They make a conscious decision to wait overnight to grab this guy, but they maintain a perimeter. So they're going to wait for safety's sake, for the possibility of apprehension to be better. They wait till 8 o'clock in the morning, daylight, so mm-hmm. they can, you know, see what's going on. And they are all fully aware that this suspect is A, desperate, and B, has a rifle, has stolen a gun.
That's right.
So imagine, if you will, these are the guys, and I don't care how many of them are there. I think there were 400 law enforcement officials involved in differing parts of this apprehension. These are the guys that are going out in the bushes, into the sheds, into the barns, and any one of them could catch a bullet between the eyes from this guy. Take as many photos as you want. Go ahead, enjoy the fruits of your labor. And I just think there's certain things that I want to see become a non-issue. I don't care if there are, you know, certain former chiefs of police mm-hmm. that, you know, say, well, it wouldn't have happened if I had been. No.
That's so, and you know what? That's so easy to say after the fact.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they would have let that go down if they were part of it.
You know, Rob, it seems to me that what we lack everywhere nowadays, we lack empathy. And I think that if I can articulate to me what I always think, and I watch a lot of police video.
Mm-hmm.
Because it fascinates me, and I also
because you're a squirrel, as documented
and I was
on the show.
Do you remember the squirrel days?
I remember the squirrel days.
You know, Carla brought that up, Rob Ford, the other day, and I will be referring to you with your full name.
Thank you.
Since
thank
there
you.
Are two Robs on the show,
of course,
appreciate
Rob
it.
Ford, Carla, and I went by a. Now they're what are they? Now they're the Dodge Chargers. You see the Dodge Chargers repurposed for a squirrel car,
sure,
and a squirrel is someone who is a cop wannabe, and for a time, I was this close to buying a, it wasn't a Caprice Classic.
Was it a Crown Vic?
A Crown Victoria.
A Crown Vic, yeah.
Because I wanted to be a squirrel.
Well, they stopped making the Caprice, trust me, I know.
Yeah, and they stopped making the Crown Vic, so.
Yeah, and you did ride along. You did a lot of stuff.
I've done a ride along with Officer Meg.
That's right.
I did a ride along, and.
You could have put on like a camo helmet, just like that. And gone out there, right up to Pennsylvania, joined the fight. They say, we need Mike O'Mara.
That's right.
That's stolen valor, Rob Ford. That's stolen valor. I'd be outed if I did that. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm looking for the suspect. That would
just fly first class up there, call him the Flying Squirrel, and we'll be in business.
I was wondering about that that fugitive. Isn't he kind of
I noticed there were some people taking pictures. I was wondering if I could get one for my
my Dodge Charger that is
well,
on
you
mark.
Would start subtly. You'd say, well, if you all want your picture taken, I can hold the camera. I can take the picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, thank you. I'll do that for you. And then and, you know, flip it around, do a selfie. You know, might be interesting. But it just, the stuff we argue with, the stuff we find to be divisive about just pisses me off. This is a moment. You know, we don't have them as much as we should. We don't honor these guys. Think about it, really. And I hope you do. I do. That every time you roll up on anybody, the idea of walking up to an automobile for a traffic stop, you never effing know. Every day, the people on the job do this. And, you know, I just think that it making it political trivializes the sacrifice and the bravery of guys that do this. You know, and maybe it's because I've been thinking about 9/11 with the, you know, the anniversary of all these first responders that run to the flames.
Yeah.
They run into the buildings. They run where the people are dangerous. And sure, it's an adrenaline rush. And sure they're thinking about, the moment and caught up in the moment. That's how you probably get through it, I would imagine.
I would think so.
But I would imagine it's an adrenaline rush. And then they finally succeed. And by the way, they had every opportunity to light this guy up, to turn him into Swiss cheese, because he had murdered people, multiple stabbing, just a bad dude, and had a weapon.
Yeah.
But they brought him in without anybody getting injured. It's a triumph for law enforcement. It's a triumph for these guys that felt the pressure of waiting and apprehending Danilo Cavalcante. And I just think it's great
to me,
when
they
do
it's slightly
this.
Reminiscent of when the vaccines were coming out, and it was such a win. It was so amazing.
Yeah. Remember we
that they
waited
did
for
it.
That vaccine?
Oh, my God.
Do you remember how it was like, oh, my God, we're going to be able to, life is going
to
go on.
It's, gonna,
we
it's going to happy. Continue. And as soon as they come out, well, you can't make me take it. You know, they're
like
not even
fight.
Celebrating the victory that we have the option.
We are a warlike people.
Yeah, and
we like to fight amongst ourselves.
But more so now than ever.
And this one was, I look at that and I don't see exploiting the moment. I see a bunch of proud guys and women that were.
It's a piece of history right there.
Yeah, and they'll have that. They'll have that picture on their walls. And I think they should. More power to them, because it's very, very cool. If I can speak about 9/11,
please,
because that was a law enforcement friend of mine, Fried, Ralph Rice, who said I was kind of sad that Mike didn't mention 9/11 on the anniversary, and I didn't, and he was right, and I corrected that yesterday, and I saw on my feed a clip of Regis and Kelly, and they go to tape live at 9 a.m.
Right.
in New York, and It was a very brief tape. It ends when they go to commercial break in their first segment early, when they are on the air when the second plane hits the towers. And nothing brought home, you can probably look this up by saying Regis Kelly Towers, whatever. Nothing brought it home more than watching them and how we all felt, because we didn't know.
We knew
nothing. I was in the Brooklyn Diner. On what, 6th Avenue in New York? Is that, I think, where it
about
was
right.
or something? Right, right near our building.
Yeah, a few
blocks. I think our building was right upstairs.
Yeah, and it's just like three blocks from Central Park.
I remember we were
Park.
The ninth floor. I remember we were on the eighth and ninth floor.
Right.
So, and the idea of not knowing, the first inkling I had is when the waitress at the Brooklyn Diner was getting breakfast and said to me, sorry, the service is so slow. My mom works in a building next to the towers. I said, towers? What do you mean? They said, somebody flew a private plane, accidentally flew into the towers.
I remember that thought. Them saying it was a private
remember
plane.
Remember that at first?
Because we were supping together, but then you broke away and I came up later because, you'd like to get up and get settled up there, and I would finish up at breakfast.
Yeah.
And when I got up there,
were we having breakfast that morning together?
Yeah. We did most days.
That's right. We would all convene at the Brooklyn Diner.
And then
I thought I needed to beat feet and get upstairs as soon as possible.
Yeah, I still, then as now, can do your signature. So I took care of it.
You know what? I think I was by myself, Rob, because I was running a little later than normal.
Oh, okay.
I think I was by myself because I remember she said it to me, And I remembered I needed to get it quickly just to be on time.
Right.
And I think you were already upstairs.
Could be. I know that the first plane, you know, it makes sense because I left a lobby of normalcy. And by the time I got up to the ninth floor, it was starting to be a buzz with what was going on. Because remember, WNEW was hot talk, but their sister station was the news station in New York City.
WINS. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And so that stuff was really...
greatest news station in the country.
It is.
Probably still is, by
truly
the way.
Truly is.
Unbelievable pace that they keep there, you know. And just you get it every 10 minutes, the world in 10 minutes,
yep.
just where everything would cycle through and you'd get that. Do you have a memory, we haven't talked about it a lot,
no.
of how long before they brought us in there to take over from the morning
I
show?
I seem to remember that the first plane hit and they were saying it was a private plane. And the second plane hit, and we were watching it in the general manager's office.
Yeah, we were not on the air when the second plane hit.
But the sports buddies were, or Pharrell, or whatever their morning show that week was.
It was a very, very sports-centric show, and it was determined that, you know, we would be able to handle it better.
I think they brought us in.
Because we had a news element and all that.
About 10:20. That seems to be about the time I thought. And it really was just walking in and beginning.
And when did you normally go on?
That was when we were
11 a.m.
11, okay.
3, yeah.
We were doing middays in New York on WNEW, and they brought us in, and I think somewhere over a little over 8 hours we were on the air that day, and then roughly the same the next day where we came in. And then the last day, it was a little shorter shift, I think. We didn't play any ads at all on that day we were on, and we would take a break.
Yeah.
In ships.
We would actually, there were times that we went to WINS coverage. We would throw it over to the sister station. Mm. But the weird thing I do remember is that was a time when we were both, when everyone on the show was traveling either by train or by plane to get there. Mike converted me to train travel. I liked flying, going up to New York by train.
Yeah, I did.
And then the next morning, our producer at that time, Lisa, was going to fly up that morning.
Mm.
And when they said, oh, this was a commercial flight, and we hadn't heard a word from her, and that was a freaky moment.
Yeah, she was in the air when one of the planes hit.
Exactly, exactly.
Coming into New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Coming into LaGuardia.
So,
and she'd be a great person to ask about, you know, what she went through there. And I remember we all thought about her because she was coming in that morning.
Right.
And it was just, the lack of knowledge with breaking news. And I don't think it changes. The speed of information technology has changed nothing as far as how people respond, because we can get information, but you still can't interpret it without knowledge of what's happening.
It's a weakness that I've not either journaled or written down the timeline of the day, because we were right in the center of it.
Yeah.
And, I really would like to see kind of how things fell out, like the Pentagon crash, too. That came after the second tower hit, right?
I think so. I know that people back then, it hasn't happened in years, of course, since a couple of 20 years. People have asked me, what was the experience like? What were you thinking? Well, we were on the air, so you're thinking about doing your job, and then we would go out. And I think Buzz and I would grab a smoke out in the stairwell of the building. And I say in all truthfulness that my own feeling was my own safety. I'm not going to lie about that, because I said they hit government with the Pentagon.
I remember when you said this to me, you flipped me out.
They hit financial, and what better next targets would be than the news station and 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Hit NBC, hit 30 Rock, hit the all news station. But, you know, your mind just, that's what you think about. And every creak and every, little sound from a building. Buildings make a lot of noise, by the way.
The night of the
stairwell.
The night of the 12th, I think, there was some sort of warning because they didn't know exactly what was going on. And I remember I walked out of the hotel and into Central Park because I just didn't want to be in a building at that time. And I also remember the city was so deserted that one night during that week, I walked into Times Square, the hub of everything in North America. I sneezed and it echoed back at me. That's how empty the city was.
Did
Wild.
You come with me and the rest of the gang over to the hotel lobby for a well-deserved drinky?
It wasn't even a hotel we were staying in. I think it was just a randomly selected lobby, wasn't it?
I don't know whether it was the I was staying at the Essex House. They'd moved us into the Essex House.
Okay, then it was. Then we were drinking.
It was
at
the Essex House.
Yeah.
And you were there with me, and you remember that moment when we went in. And it was the first experience that tons of people had where if you were digesting the news on television, if you were, you know, if you were enveloped in this news story, as so many people were, you would find it difficult. There were other people that weren't, believe it or not. There were other people that really weren't, you know, completely living and breathing it as we had been for about 8 hours.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's thinking about it, but I'm talking about nonstop. Every minute, talking about it and do it. And we walk in, and I think I was looking for seating for everybody in this little lounge we were in to get our gang over. And wasn't there a lady there that was from, like, Texas or something?
She was a loudmouth. I remember that.
And she was ordering a dessert of some kind.
Yes.
I remember just not being able to wrap my head around,
like,
that.
Like, tuned out for the whole situation.
You're dealing with a little PTSD. So you're sitting there going, how could you? And then the other moment that we had is when we came back into Washington, D.C., and they were doing traffic reports.
Yeah.
And I said, what? Things are back. They're doing traffic? Are people going to work? It was that weird. It was that weird because life had stopped outside of work. We worked. We went to the hotel. You that week walked down that night.
Yeah.
I walked all the blocks down that I could down to Ground Zero.
Right. I remember this.
Thinking in my sauced brain, my alcohol fueled brain that I was motivated to go down, and I said, well, maybe they'll need volunteers down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I planned on going. My plan, you know, once again, a little scoot.
Yeah.
My plan was to walk, which I did, 64 blocks, I think it was. I walked that far.
Yeah.
It was, I walked through different neighborhoods I wouldn't walk through normally. And I remember getting down there thinking that I would work till probably, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock, and then go back and get some shut-eye before we went on the air the next day. And getting down there and having a white shirt, one of the officers, you know, the lieutenants or sergeants or whatever, saying, we've got 10,000 professionals. We don't need any volunteers.
No
remember
squirrels.
Said that.
Yeah.
I remember.
Well, the weird thing, the one
thanks
thing
for,
that the...
thanks for trivializing it, Rob Ford. I appreciate that.
The officer didn't like that
might
you were...
Might very well have been. Huh?
The officer didn't like that you were trying to hang that banner that said mission accomplished.
Yeah, I know. It was it was very...
Officer, I just want a picture.
Give me a picture. I said, you know, if this was in New York, I would have brought my Caprice Classic down here. My Crown Victoria.
So, but yeah, it happened,
around,
as I recall,
back.
It happened on the 9/11 was a Tuesday and it was Friday night that we had a car drive us home.
Wow.
And
we came out through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where it was quiet in that car because we turned and looked to the left as you're on 95 coming out of the Lincoln Tunnel, and we looked and the skyline was not the skyline.
Forever changed.
It was gone. The towers were gone, and that's when it really, really hit us. Yes, we knew already, obviously, but that was the moment. And it just gets me full circle to the people that lost their lives that day, the people that run to that, you know, every instinct as a human being. You see it when the first tower collapses on video. Every instinct is to run. And the people that run to the disaster are the bravest of the brave. They are, no matter what motivations they have. Are there bad cops and bad EMS workers? Are there bad fire? Yeah, they're people that have their issues, but as a whole, you've got people that do a job where you are running to the danger if there is danger.
Yeah.
And that's what these guys that apprehended that suspect,
and
who could have done a lot more damage, you know?
And I don't know how you can find something divisive about it, people. Why you care about it.
It was weird.
Whatever.
So before we go to break here, I have to, and then we've got a lot, as I said, to cover on this show. But
plenty.
I have to tell you, Wednesday night is bowling night. Oh, my God.
I thought
God.
It was treat day.
I am. The drill Wednesday is that Mrs. O'Mara and I, at about, I want to say 5:40-ish.
Yeah.
We collect the youngster. And we drop him off for Gammy, and he spends the night with Gammy, and then we're off, and it's our little breaky,
right?
And I have taken to I'd moved away from my weekly alcohol habit, and I'm here to say bowling.
Me too.
Has, you have too. Bowling has brought me back. And but
now I have to ask before you get into last night's hijinks.
Yes, sir.
I know that you must have had an image in your mind of what bowling league night was going to be, because although Carla was pushing to join, you certainly didn't offer any resistance.
I was looking forward to it. I was 100%. I am still looking forward to it.
Good.
Now, and I had experience because on the old Don and Mike show, we had. In a desperate attempt to improve our ratings in New York and the surrounding areas, we attempted to, the decision was made, this is it, bowling will work.
Yeah, well, you know what? We did bowl with Howard Cosell's nephew. And
we bowled with many New Yorkers and suburban Connecticut people.
Yeah,
and
we bowled in a firehouse.
We bowled in Chappaqua.
Yeah, it was... I don't think it was a failed plan. I don't think it was a flawed plan.
I didn't say it was a failed plan, and I just don't. I don't remember what the results were, but I know
hangovers.
That we had.
That was the result. Are you kidding me?
And I remember at least one game that I had where I was successful, like really successful. Like
right.
I bowled a lot. Do you have any? We all think bowling is like golf. You only think about your own.
I think
score.
That we all had nights where we were in like close to 200.
Oh, wow.
I believe I was at one point.
Yeah. I mean, like 190s. We were bowling a lot because remember, we were bowling in DC as well.
Yes. Yes. And the only tip I remembered is I think it was in Queens, New York, where a guy had said, hold it like a suitcase. That's all you need to do. Keep your arms straight and hold it like a suitcase. So, I don't know what year that was when we did that. I'm not sure.
Sounds like good advice.
It was 90, could it be like 2002-ish?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It was.
Do you still have the beautiful shirts we had?
Yes. Well, I think I threw mine.
Julia stole both of mine.
Oh, that's, keeping the hoarding in the family.
Well, no, she actually wears them. I don't know if I can button them.
A family heirloom.
What's that, Rob?
A family heirloom.
Of course.
A family heirloom. Doesn't that give you as a hoarder?
That gives me great pleasure. Yeah.
Because it's not been discarded.
I understand probably it would be hard to explain to her cool friends down in Richmond why the name says Ed. But other than that, go gutter balls.
Special, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We called you Special Ed.
No, Head.
Was that your nickname?
Like the size of my head.
Oh, Head.
Yeah.
Like your big head.
Yeah.
I, Rob Ford, you will be happy to know my nickname. I was named after an antidepressant.
That's
Paxil,
right. That's right.
Which I was on at the time.
I remember your dissatisfaction with that pill.
Well, there's a particular side effect that I didn't find gratifying.
Yeah, it's like driving to the beach, but you can only make it as far as Cambridge.
Oh,
you never quite get to the beach.
It's like having a sundae with a cherry on top, and you never get to eat the cherry.
That's right.
If I can give it any more detail, I will about that.
Oh, so, but, Mike, how was last night? This is my theme for your bowling stories now.
From around the world, you're watching Bowl America on ABC.
Rob Ford, you strike me as a guy that probably
so
knows his way around a bowling alley.
Yeah, actually, my now wife and I's first date was at a bowling alley.
Bingo. There it is. There it is, because you like to bowl.
Well, I didn't like to bowl. It was strange. We had arranged to go to like a restaurant or something like that, and
right.
And then she, this is right before we'd even like seen each other in person because we had met online. And we go to, she says, hey, do you want to do bowling instead? And I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah, we'll it doesn't matter where it is. Like, we'll just do the date.
That's a good move for a first date because it's a built-in activity.
Absolutely. So
yeah, but it's an activity. If I did it on a first date, Carla and I would not be together.
So we get there, and we go to like rent the shoes and do all the bowling stuff. And she's like, "Oh, I don't need to rent shoes. I have a locker here."
So she's way in. Yeah,
she was your a part of a bowling league, and some of her family friends were big bowlers. And that was her home turf bowling alley that she wanted to go to, but she undersold it.
Yeah.
Until we got there, and okay. she takes a key off her keychain, goes into the locker, and gets her own shoes.
You know owning a ball and owning shoes is one level, but having a locker at the
having lanes, a locker is a
next
big
level.
Deal.
Yeah. Do you care which alley was
this? At that time it was the Bowl America in Falls Church.
I know exactly where it is.
Now a bolero, I guess.
Does your good lady still throw the ball a little bit?
She does, and she always just did it for the social kind of aspect of it. So
okay.
It just kind of fell away from it. But she did it for a while.
Mike, okay. Bowl America is where thousands cheer.
With the team, there's like a handicap, and you have somebody who scores low, so you can get the big handicap. There's some strategy there.
Yeah,
and she was that person in the team.
You couldn't get me to explain it because we do that.
What is your average right now? Your league rich?
I'll bring it in next week.
Okay, you will not.
I will. No. I will bring in my average next week.
Prepare the spreadsheet.
I can only tell you this: that. I went from the big flagon of beer, which
yes.
I could not finish,
yes.
to modifying it last week, having a pitcher of beer.
Yes.
And I am not exaggerating when I say I had two pitchers of beer myself last
draft
night.
Draft beer.
Bowling.
There you go.
Draft beer.
Mm.
Which,
what's on draft?
It was Michelob Ultra on
nice,
draft.
Nice.
And the way works with me, it was, well, it's consume, 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 no effect, and then Carla coming over and saying, I think you might have had enough.
Oh.
That's where we were with the beer. And I am happy to report that for the second week in a row, the lowest aggregate score, not just on my team, but on both teams,
yes.
Was achieved by your boy here.
Hey!
At one point,
you're setting yourself up for most improved at the banquet at the end of the season.
Buy low, sell high.
I will.
The banquet.
It was such a land of... My shoulder hurts today.
You weren't holding it like a suitcase then.
I was not holding it like a suitcase. At a certain point, I looked over and I see this great bowler. And he kind of shoves that ball out and he cups it.
Yeah.
He cups it, and then he bends his elbow back, and then it explodes, and it goes halfway down the lane and then gets across, and right before the pins, it takes this sharp left-hand turn, and
Was he a fingertip bowler? Or
I don't know.
Because I've seen them, and they are really precise.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is.
I've never been able to do that.
Yeah,
it was fun to – and then I'm fascinated. I said, well, there's why you have the hook, and he's got a glove. That has little rubber feet on it. You know what I mean? That get the spin. And I said, now, see, that's what I need. And then, because bowlers are generous people, they are.
Yes.
They're nice, kind, giving individuals. He removes the glove and says, if this helps you, you can keep it. And later on, at the end of the evening, I know I was like, this didn't do me any good. You can have it back. No, keep it. That's what happened.
Well, did you return it sweatier than it was when he gave it to you? Because I can imagine peeling off a rubber glove.
Oh, no.
I think it was brand new because he had he works at the bowling alley. So he had 10 of them. He had a bunch of them.
Oh, he gets them at cost.
He probably does. Yeah. Or if not free. And it was a disaster. I had one of my classic two gutter ball frames.
Double
open.
Really, really, really achieving something. But at least I got one on the left and one on the right. That's it. That's
there
it.
You go.
Okay, so it wasn't truly a gutter ball. You picked up the 7 and the 10.
No, I'm talking. I had one gutter ball on the left one gutter ball on
I'm
the right.
I'm sorry. I thought you picked up a couple pins.
You didn't hear me correctly. That's how bad it was. It was horrible.
I was rooting for you, Mike.
And then,
what's your reaction when you gutter ball?
It's a, you know what, Rob Ford?
And how do they stare at you when you're walking back there? Your team is looking at you.
It's just like the guy that struck out in the bottom of the ninth. It's just like the quarterback that throws the pick six. It's the exact same thing. No one makes eye contact. You limp back to your beer pitcher and you
sit down.
Is
it a much longer walk when you're coming back than it is when you're approaching the lane?
Well, the only eye contact made, of course, was my lovely bride.
Of course.
Who gives me a look like where she's like, like that. Gives me the eye roll.
How was her evening?
It's bold, better than me.
Well, yeah, you know? But I mean, I'm
beyond rooting. Remember, I imparted this wisdom that I, even though I'm married to her, I root against her.
Yes.
Because I want to do better than she does.
Yeah. But you'll get there, Rob, if you're not there yet.
Oh, yeah.
That was not the case last night. I was totally focused on improving, but I couldn't get out of my own head. And so I was trying different things. Could not prevent myself from having a steady, simple way. It went from bowling a straight ball to, well, this isn't working because I'm not getting enough zing on the ball.
Well, so Mike, you don't need zing. What you need
terrible.
Is you need to be consistent, find the dots on the lane where you put your foot, do the same number of approach, and just throw a straight ball.
Have you considered granny style?
What's that? Oh, yeah.
Granny style.
Through the legs.
You like between the legs?
Mm-hmm. Nice and wide.
Not in the league, Rob Ford.
Oh, that's an illegal bowl.
I don't know whether it's illegal or not, but I'm not going to embarrass myself like that. One of the next thing I know, I'm going to put up the bumpers.
Well, you get one more pin than the double gutter.
This is true. You can get one. Squeeze that pin in.
What you should do, Mike, is find the league president and say, could I have a word with you?
That was terrible. It was terrible. And my Manjaro wasn't really working because they had a big pizza, like a meat lover's pizza, on the table. And I kept staring at it. Didn't eat any. Didn't eat any at all. Went to the beer. Went heavy to the beer.
And your teammates. Oh, go ahead. What? I'm sorry. I was going to say, your teammates, the college guys, how are they? Are they still fun to hang with?
Oh, yeah. Just a joy. So anyway, they sat next to each other on the little bench and, you know. The one brother came over and he texted me an instructional video during the bowling night.
Oh, no. While you're there, he did it?
While we're there, yeah. I'm getting when you suck, you get advice from every corner. You get advice from everybody. And I'm happy to say, at one point, I started doing I took my thumb out of the hole.
Okay.
So I just put these two fingers. Can't get that one to straighten up. These two fingers here.
Uh-huh.
And I did the curve, and I got one strike.
Ooh.
I had two strikes all night. One strike with that. That was the only strike.
Stay away from that.
My entire three games, two strikes and one spare.
Oh.
That was it. It was horrible. It's horrible. Rob, I at least was able to knock over pins.
Yeah,
when I bowled with you.
Absolutely.
It's gone. It's gone. It's in the wind. We're running out of time. I'm sorry, but it's gone. I will report next week on what's happening. And for those of you, I hope Mike's not going to talk about bowling again. Hey, here's my Irish bag. Take that, all right?
Hey,
take
that also,
people.
That also has two balls in it.
Very nice. We're here with Rob Ford and Rob Spiewak, and we will be back with the roundtable after this. Hey, everybody, it's time to get... Grab some dadgrass and let's dive in, shall we? It's legal, it's organic, and that smokable hemp action will help you keep your cool. Spark up those pre-rolled joints. They're all about the low THC, high CBD vibes. And for you non-smokers, no worries. Dadgrass has tinctures and gummies that'll have you riding the mellow wave, no smoke required. Oh, and jet setters, listen up. Dadgrass is your travel buddy. TSA is on board, so you can take your chill on the go, fly high, stay mellow. It's the utmost experience, my friend. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the USA. Plus, TSA approved.
Oscar will be the only guy sneaking drugs into Colombia.
Very exciting, because he said he was bringing his Dadgrass.
Right
now, Dadgrass offering our listeners 20% off their first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com
dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Release the Kraken!
Kraken!
Never thought that would grow on me, but it does.
Look, he got another gutter ball.
The Kraken! The clinker!
It's a clinker!
Good for the clinker. Hello. Hey, let's start with this, all right? Sean Penn, ladies and gentlemen. Sean Penn.
Yeah, where's he been?
You don't see him very. He's a very active guy in social issues and
yeah,
stuff
he is.
Like that, you know. He has a very simple question he'd like the universe to answer. How come, this is kind of going back a ways, how come Will Smith can smack a guy and get away with it while he can't? He's an angry dude.
He's very concerned.
New interview with Variety. Sean, so that's why he's talking about it.
Okay.
There he is. Hard to think.
Looks good. Let's party.
Spicoli. In a new interview with Variety, Sean was complaining that the Oscars didn't want Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on this year's broadcast because he wasn't lighthearted enough. Sean got very involved with Ukraine and supporting them. He added, quote, "Well, guess what you got instead? Will Smith." He has a point.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I mean, I get it. I understand it, but it's kind of a little old news, all right? The time has passed.
I think it was 86 when he hit the reporter.
He said this. He said, why the F did you just spit on yourself and everybody else with this stupid effing thing? Why did I go to effing jail for what you just did and you're still sitting there? Why are you guys standing and applauding his worst moment as a person? Sean was referring to the time he got arrested for punching a movie extra in the face in 1987. And he said the situation at the Oscars made him so angry that he wanted to destroy the two that he won. Instead, he went to Ukraine and gave one to Zelensky.
That's a cool move, but I don't think, maybe I'm not remembering it right. Did we applaud and celebrate Will Smith?
He came out pretty bad from it.
I think he got at the ceremony, he got a big round of applause, didn't he?
It wasn't
crickets. I remember it wasn't crickets.
Okay, yeah, there was noise, but I mean, if you look at the long run,
yeah,
he got something a little worse than jail.
I know. I guess he's still bitter. You got to let stuff go.
Yeah.
You really do. You have to let stuff, you know. I've been married 3 times. Trust me.
Yeah.
Let stuff go.
Well,
it's
he was
necessary.
Smart. He let Madonna go before she got all plasticky.
Madonna. Oh, well before, right?
Yes, yeah.
He was dating Madonna when she was extremely young.
Yeah, that
they were both young.
Mid-80s for them, yeah.
Mid-80s, absolutely. Stalkers can be pretty fanatical in their dedication, but sometimes they are fickle.
Oh.
Remember? Do you know this name? Chad Michael Busto.
UFC fighter?
No.
Big guess.
Wrong. Yeah. He's the guy who tried to approach Drew Barrymore during a speaking engagement.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I remember that guy.
At a theater in New York City. Then he went to Drew's home in the Hamptons after he went to the studio. And in the Hamptons, he was going door to door looking for her residence. Odd. Man, oh, man. That's a good way in this day and age, really, with the second. Is that the dude?
That's
is that
dude.
Busto Mac?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, my God.
He looks sleepy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the days of stalking Drew are over because Chad has moved on to Harry Potter star Emma Watson.
Hey, you know what? How could it get creepier? It just did.
Last Friday, he stormed into a dressing room at a New York Fashion Week show demanding to see her. All right. You know what? Why is this guy on the street? Why is he not in a facility of some kind? Because this could go very, very badly, could it not?
Well, at the very least, he's impolite. You ask to see her. You don't demand.
No.
You don't have that ice. You can't do that.
Well, that guy we see on the screen right there was yelling at people and saying that he wanted to marry her and get his picture taken with her.
He's not a bad-looking dude.
Look at the scabs on his forehead.
I mean, aside from the scabs, he's not bad.
I can't see the scabs from where I am, but he doesn't look like... I mean, that doesn't immediately say wingnut. When I look at that guy, does it to you?
I think he's wearing.
Mac is zooming in on that.
There's the scab.
Mac, that helps me so much. That's wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, there are the scabs. Can you pan down a little bit on that to see the guy? There
Mike,
he is.
I think a problem. He appears to be wearing pajamas under his hoodie.
Right. You know what he looks like to me? Like somebody who would say, the rent stays the same as before.
Do you have a Band-Aid for my forehead?
There he goes. I got roughed up when I was stalking Drew Barrymore. Taylor Swift had an amazing night at the VMAs on Tuesday. I didn't have the pleasure of watching it. From winning just about everything to fangirling over NSYNC, we played that yesterday.
Yes.
And dancing to just about every performance during the four-hour show, she just couldn't calm down. Did alcohol play any part in that? The internet seems to think so, because drunk Taylor memes with clips of her shenanigans have been all over the place ever since. They're saying maybe she was a little lit when she was at the VMAs.
I wonder how many of those memes came from Big Taylor.
Because Big Taylor.
Mm-hmm. For someone who kind of has a reputation of being
squeaky
clean sort of a tight ass and play by the rules, you know, this is a pretty valuable pub for that.
Well, they're speculating, was she drunk or just having the time of her life? And can it be both?
She's done this at every single award show. She's always aggressively singing along to whatever's on the stage.
I think you're absolutely right.
But is she a souse? Does she drink?
I don't know. I guess the memes don't lie.
Well, that's true. You can't argue with the internet, Mike.
I'm now taking it a step further.
Oh, yeah. Dear. All right. This answers a lot of questions here.
It looks like Courtney
Love. Another Zoom. Hey, Matt, can you do another Zoom? Is that possible? Where was that taken?
I have no idea. I mean, that can't be at the awards.
This looks
this is like an after party thing.
This looks like right outside of Bent Willie's in West Virginia University on Blackout Tuesday. I mean,
Blackout
that is
Tuesday. That's you have a name for it. Blackout Tuesday. Oh, Taylor.
Robert claims to not have heard of that.
Yeah. Liar. All right, moving right along. UFO fans are going nuts over this, but it's silly, in my opinion.
Okay.
Everyone else is like, hang on.
What?
On Tuesday, Mexico held its first congressional hearings on UFOs. And longtime UFO enthusiast, he unveiled what he claims are fossilized remains of two dead aliens.
Oh.
We have the picture. They are small. Less than 2 feet tall, and you tell me if you think this is phony or not. This, to me, is about as phony as it gets. He claimed they were recently unearthed from a mine in Peru. What happened, Mac? Were we not able to get the picture up?
Oh, here we are.
Oh, come on. Come on. Really?
What are you going to do with your alien? Oh, put him in a drawer.
Yeah. It looks like a baby Yoda minus the ears.
It looks like a sculpture I would have done in high school.
Well, yeah, I hope maybe middle school.
He claimed they were recently unearthed from a mine in Peru and that 30% of their DNA couldn't be identified.
Is that because it's made of rock?
And it says that
clay.
The fossils were between 700 and 1,800 years old.
Mm.
He also claimed X-rays showed one of them had eggs in his body when he died with embryos inside.
Okay, so not like his breakfast, but he was planning to reproduce.
No, not scrambled, Rob. Okay. A few other experts also claimed they're legit.
Nice face.
Now, apparently this guy did the same thing with an alien corpse in 2017, but it turned out to be fossilized remains of a child.
Oh, sad.
So more reasons to be skeptical.
I like the face the alien is making. He appears to be saying, ooh.
Put it back up, Mac, if you can't. By the way, these are the reasons they're giving for the skepticism, not that I think you need any reason other than looking at that. They were covered in loose sand, which would normally be removed during detailed analysis, so it kind of looks staged. The Mexican university that did the carbon dating put out a statement saying they only determine the age of the fossils, not what they are. This is weird. And Ryan Graves was at the hearing. He's the former Navy pilot who also testified at the first U.S. congressional hearing on UFOs in July. Yesterday, he called the alien corpse thing an unsubstantiated stunt and a huge step backwards. Of course it is. Look at that toy.
They
I should could
have
make
removed,
an alien.
They should remove
that.
More sand.
Although that is the face that Taylor was making in her pictures.
Stop it.
She was drunk. All right, let me see. We're running out of time here. All right, I'll do this one. I'll do this one.
Editing on the
National
fly.
Toy Hall of Fame.
Yes, I love it.
You've been a member for how long now, Rob?
Mike, well, I was inducted. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago as
very
a
exciting.
Toy.
Oh, wow.
But I've been a contributor for many years.
Well, I do this every year. 12 finalists for the 2023 class, and the favorite childhood toy, illegal fireworks, not on the list. I always put
darn it. Darn it.
The finalists this year are, they always do something odd like this, baseball cards.
Making a big comeback.
Yeah, but not a toy.
My kid's all into football cards. Loves them.
Yeah.
The board game Battleship.
Great. Great game.
Bingo.
Not really a toy, but yeah, I can see it.
Bop It.
Great. That's a great toy.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
What is Bop It? I forgot what Bop It is.
It was about this big plastic toy that had like a button, a lever, and
like a wheel or a twisty thing.
Yeah, and it would tell you what to bop, twist, or turn.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's got an electrical.
Yeah, it tells you what to do.
Bop it. Twist it. Pull it.
Okay. And you have to know the sequence, right?
Yeah, follow it.
All right, I get it. Cabbage Patch Kids, huge. I remember back in the day.
My mom still has hers.
Here's one that's weird. Choose Your Own Adventure game books. Do either of you know anything?
Yes, oh, yes,
of course.
Yeah. Oh, wow. See, there's Goosebumps. Where I date myself. Listen to this. Huh?
Yeah. You would start there would be a theme, and you would start reading it, and it says, if you open the door, go to page 17. If you don't open the door, go to page 19. Of course, I liked finding an ending I liked and working backwards.
Sure. It had a bunch of fake endings throughout the book. Yeah.
See, I'm glad that this was the right choice. This was my right choice for you two boys.
Thank you.
Oscar, stay in South America. Rob, make other arrangements.
All right.
You here.
Yes. Done and done.
Here's another one.
I guess I'll stick around.
Connect Four.
Yes, the checker game.
You too. You're doing great today.
It's big in bars now, the giant Connect Four.
Yes, I've seen it. Jimmy has it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
About Connect Four.
I see. What's that, Mac?
So I am a near perfect gamer at Connect Four. I can win. I've won 200 games straight in Connect Four.
And you might wonder, where does Mac play Connect Four?
Where?
The tub.
In the tub, of course.
anyway.
That's why his checkers are soggy.
Please, one more time, can you enlighten me? What is Connect
Four? Connect Four is a grid. I think it's probably like 6x6.
Yeah.
And you drop red and black checkers into the grid, and you have to connect four of them, be the first. It's sort of an elevated tic-tac-toe.
It's tic-tac-toe,
yeah.
Is it a skill set, Mac, that you require?
There is a strategy.
Kind of like Plinko to a degree.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's fun. And the best part is, of course, pulling the lever and having all the checkers fall out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the classic tagline on the commercial was diagonally. And the brother says, pretty sneaky, sis.
Okay. The things that you keep warehoused in that giant cranium stun me sometimes.
Doctor told me it's amazing. Getting full. I need to eliminate some
stuff. What's the governing body of Max Connect Four 200 game streak? How's that enforced? How does he know? Where does he play?
Yeah, that's true, Mac.
Is he at the Bolero? What's he doing?
Valid questions from Rob
It
Ford.
Was on another video game that they had Connect Four as a mini game, and I would just play against random people, and I just keep winning because there is some strategy that most people that
so like just toddlers don't. Or who were you playing against?
There were toddlers and teens.
I was a toddlers and teens
in person, or didn't happen.
Both of you pick on our Mac like
that. I just want to get to the bottom of this.
You make a claim like 200 games in a row.
Yeah,
you have to have a little bit behind it.
That's true.
The
game that I played it on was Club Penguin.
Oh, that's a good game for little kids.
Yes. Well, I was a little kid.
You know, I'm gonna reach out to the CFC, Connect Four Council. Let's see what's up.
Petition.
Hold on, Mac. This will no longer be referred to as a Mike O'Mara show. It will be Adventures in Dorkland. That's what it will be.
You know, Mike, actually, I just looked up the CFC. Mac does have the record, but with an asterisk.
Go ahead, Mac. We interrupted you.
Unfortunately, though, the game is a solved game. There is a 100% way to win.
Like, really?
Yes. Like, if a computer can beat you 100% of the time.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll take that to sleep tonight.
And then does it make a difference if your opponent has a knife?
We will move on. Now, let me blast through the rest of these.
Please.
Patel's Ken, Little Tykes Cozy Coop. It's a classic red car with yellow roof. Nerf Toy, Slime, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The winner will be voted on by
toy industry experts and Michael McIntosh, plus public voting at museumofplay.org throughout the next week.
Mac will be there with his robe and shawl and his crown and his scepter. And
Mac, any final words that you want to say about Connect Four?
I think I've said all I can.
Thank you very much. This is good.
But congratulations on your victories.
Yeah. We'll take a break. And God, we could go home right now as far as I'm concerned. My favorite part of the show just happened. We will talk to Rob Spiewak because he was concerting
last night. Yes, I was.
And we are joined by Mr. Rob Ford. Too long, Rob. Don't make it so long the next time. We'll be right back, everybody. What memories do you wish you could relive? You ever think about that? Or pass down to your kids? Are they trapped on VHS tapes or film reels and you aren't sure where to start? We've got the perfect solution, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is the simple and safe solution for digitizing all your family's precious memories. And by going to legacybox.com/TMOS, you can enjoy 40% off when you get started with Legacy Box. They digitize over 15 different types of analog media, so whether it's VHS tapes, Super 8 millimeter, film reels, or photo negatives, they got you covered. After 10 years in the business, Legacy Box is the world's largest digitizer.
Yes!
They've helped over 1 million families relive their wedding days, chaotic childhood Christmases, bowling outings.
Oh,
sure.
Oh, dear.
Even road trips to Yellowstone. I went there. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 40%. Buy today. Send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. That's legacybox.com/TMOS. Seriously, before we get to Rob's concert, Rob Ford, we know you're a busy guy. Rob is one of the honchos over at Podville Media. I do appreciate you coming in as our third wheel. The show works best with three guys, and thank you so much
for coming. It's great to be here. It's great to be back.
Fun to have you here.
Very fun.
Rob Spiewak informed me that you went to Carrie's favorite artists last night.
Yeah,
right?
I think it was seriously like her 10th or 11th Duran Duran concert. It was my second, and they are, I will say this, a great band live, even with the sound the way it is in the Capital One Arena. There's a lot of questionable choices sound wise in there, but it was so fun.
Can I do my 80s my 80s song voice, because they have it? Right?
Yeah, of course.
They sound
I'm
like
sure.
every band in the
a lot of
the
them.
80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let's I got get my reverb up.
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Sounds of Silence.
It's not working.
It's okay.
Oh no,
Mike, I broke it.
There's no reason. And anyone has to know.
Broke it.
No, you didn't break it. Just needs a reset, I'm sure.
I had it plugged in and everything. God damn it. I really wanted to do it. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the evening started with a miscommunication where the doors opened at 6 and the concert, it says, starts at 7. And I didn't read into the concert. I'd seen them before. And I just said, oh, we're in for a great night. So I actually Ubered from here and met her at Capital One Arena, where the Washington, the Capitals play, the hockey team, and the basketball team. And so I got there, and apparently I was not in the know, because there was maybe 1/10 of the people in the seating area.
Oh.
Because I thought, oh my God, they didn't sell any tickets.
Oh, no.
And I sat down in my seat, and I was the only one in the row, and I said, I'm sorry they didn't sell any tickets,
did
but this is A-okay.
Did you think that they were being stiffed?
I did. And then, you know, at 6:59, I looked at my watch. Boom! Black in the, you know, oh, the whole theater goes black, and the lights come up on the stage, and they come out with the opening act, who I had not seen before, Bastille, who had one hit record about 20 years ago, which I want to remind you, Mike, is only one more hit record than you had, and you were not a band. So
I have to ask this question.
Yeah.
Did the arena fill up eventually?
We're getting to that.
Okay.
But at this point,
sorry,
I'm literally sitting alone in a row, and we had good seats about halfway back on the floor.
Wow.
And
good.
I don't care for this band, so I am sitting down at one point with my legs crossed while they're jamming and doing their DC has got the best crowds. Woo!
Oh no.
And there's just nothing going on, cuz it's like 10% full.
Oh, and, wow, that's depressing.
And
isn't it?
They put on a fine little show, and they played their hit record, and they said, "Stay tuned." And Mike, you would have loved the second act. Before Duran Duran, it was Nile Rodgers and Chic.
Ooh.
And
oh wow, that's a good act.
They
right?
were tight. And he did something that not many artists can do. Not only did he play all the hits from Chic, which was amazing. Oh, and by this time, Carrie had showed up. So I actually was sitting with someone.
Not a Bastille fan.
No. She timed that wrong. And so they opened up with Freak Out. You know, and so the now
excellent
the,
tune.
Le Chic.
The theater is starting to fill up. I should say the arena is starting to fill up. So it does. It's looking like they sold some tickets. And they go through all the hits that he has. And then he says, you know, I want to do this because it's not as well known that I produced for Madonna, Diana Ross, David Bowie, all this. He says, I'd like to do a medley now of all my songs that I produced that hit number one.
Oh, and now that's your bag right there.
It was amazing. And they had a bass player.
Them?
Oh, Let's Dance, Modern Love, Like a Virgin,
wow.
Material Girl,
wow.
I'm Coming Out.
He produced the mega hits for Madonna.
The first album, yeah.
Wow, that's
and
awesome.
And it was so amazing because he had not only in that, he had a great drummer that sang like David Bowie. So when he did the David Bowie songs, they sounded exactly right. And he had this bass player that was just thumping with his thumb.
Nobody likes concerts like Rob Spiewak.
And it was great. And so he finishes up, and then I look around, and the place is full. Even the two seats next to me that had been empty the whole time, and right before Duran comes in, and this is where I was not pleased.
Okay.
Because the beauty of sitting on the floor of an arena is you're closer to the concert. You get a better view.
Right. Of course.
The problem is the seats are folding chairs that may be, if possible, narrower than the seats that are in the bowl of the arena.
Okay.
So you are packed in there, and we had 10 people in our row, 12 people in our row, and we had 12 people in our row.
All
and
right.
This guy sits down, and buddy, I have never had a more potent mix of cologne and BO in my life. It was, I mean, like, do you know when you would...
Was it a hot day in D.C.?
And I think he'd had a day himself.
Okay, very good.
But like when you're walking in the city and one step you're smelling like something magnificent and the next step you're smelling like wash water and then you're smelling horse. And it's just like, no matter where I was I was catching something. And then Carrie is there and we're all excited because Duran's about to start because the lights go down and they start this very pretentious video. They're going to enter from another planet or something.
Rob's not as big a fan as his wife.
I love the band, but I could do with the production elements here. And I lean over to Carrie. I said, I'm glad you made it in time. How was dinner? She says, it was really, really good. I said, what'd you have? And, you know, we're just making really, really minute small talk.
The small talk like you make, all the time.
Yeah, right? Well, Mike, we've been married almost 27 years. We've said everything there is to say.
Nice weather today.
Yeah,
all right,
beautiful.
See you tomorrow.
And,
all right, very good.
And so she is dancing like this. And I said... And dinner was good. And between songs, she says, yeah, I had a couple drinks. I said, no kidding.
Rob, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready for my Duran.
Okay,
impression.
Please, go ahead.
Right.
Ah, better. That was their closer. That was their encore. You picked well.
And whenever I do my Duran, of course, you have to have a little Spandau Ballet.
True. So I'm glad that Mac brought this up. These are the four original members that are still with the band. And
alive.
And alive. I'm not sure about Nick Rhodes, but the rest of them are alive. And they put on a fantastic show. They played all the hits. It was a lot of fun. They opened with...
I bowled in that outfit, the second from left.
That's your problem. You can't bowl in that.
Absolutely.
But they did, you know, just every hit song and then some new stuff and some of their media. It was a good concert. But my favorite moment was I was dissatisfied when we were in our small chairs because they said, let's get up, Washington, D.C., everybody up. We're going to have a party tonight. We're going to have a party tonight. And I'm like, Jesus. And so we stand up and everyone is, woo. Because Carrie had drinks. Woo!
The guy dancing that's a cologne man with a BO next to
him. Oh, yeah. He was a big one for stepping in the aisle to take pictures on some device I didn't recognize.
Okay.
And then there was
a
gentleman in front of us that we actually took video of. He was in a two-piece suit with a white shirt that he had unbuttoned, one button too many. Ooh. He obviously came from the office, and he was dancing like this.
Oh.
There you go. Looks exciting.
It was truly great. And then about the sixth song, and I'm really not liking having to stand up.
I am the same way. I hate concerts for this exactly.
I mean, I don't want to stand.
We're all men of larger character. We'd rather just
even,
relax
it's
and
It's not
sit.
Even that. You just want to watch the show.
I do too. I feel the same way.
Be entertained.
Simon says, all right, we're going to do something from a new album now. And everybody, 32,000 people. Boom! They sit.
That says it all right there. Absolutely, crickets.
But they were great. Scale of 1 to 10. The concert last night, it was a 9, a strong 9, based on the opening act. And also, remember, Carrie a couple months ago saw them at the Hollywood Bowl, and she said it was a better set. And Simon, he taxes his vocal a lot. He has a lot of big notes, and he hit them all. He had a great night.
And so he's 83 years old.
You're not far off. So we had a great show. And then what we had done is, since I had Ubered over, we had to take an Uber from the Capital One Arena back to Podville.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when we got out, this for me was maybe the highlight of the night. Carrie went, literally, she went, "Ee!" I said, "What?" She says, "Rats!" And there was a trash can across the street.
How did she go again, Rob? How did she go?
Rats! And I said, "Yep, rats, because that's a trash can and we're in the city and this is where they are." And I said, "Let's go see them." She said, no, I don't want to see them. And I get closer and there's maybe 4 of them, and they all go under the trash can because it's like an elevated trash can. And I said, Hey, buddy. She says, "Can we get the car? Hey, buddy, come here. Come here, buddy." And this was the greatest moment.
What's she doing meanwhile?
She's hanging back with her hands up like Flanders. And I say, "Hey, buddy," and this was the success of the night. Under the trash can sticks out just a nose and 2 eyes.
Oh.
Ratatouille.
I said, "Look, Gary, he likes us.
That's awesome.
But anyway, oh, man, so if you, Duran Duran still has quite a few dates left, especially with this opening act. You can show up a little late. I learned this. But go see this concert. If you like the music.
And the opening act, Chic, gets the 10.
Oh, my God. They were great.
That's
so
awesome.
Good.
That's
so
awesome.
So
you know,
check
since
it
you
out.
Quit drinking, I like you analyzing Carrie when she's loaded. That's a lot of fun.
If
take
you
that
saw her dancing
her
in
more.
Her Duran Duran t-shirt and her denim jacket, I said, you just missed it by 40 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And then that sound she makes when she sees a rat. What was that again? We'll take a break and come back to find out about Rob Ford right after this.
Rats.
On the inside. Hey, let's talk about Chime. Credit scores might not seem like a big deal, but low or no credit can jam up your financial dreams. That's where Chime sweeps in with its secured credit builder Visa credit card. Millions trust it to power up their credit scores, safely boost your score with everyday buys and prompt payments, no annual fees, and no credit check to begin. It's your passport to Visa accepted spots, all while bolstering your credit with your own funds. Level up your credit game with Chime. Seize your financial future. Your credit's a big deal, folks. So, build yours up with Chime. Just open a Chime checking account with a $200 qualified direct deposit to get started. Get started at chime.com/TMOS. That's chime.com/TMOS. Here we go. I'm going to try to read it extra fast
now. Do it.
Man. The Chime. Oh, let me enhance it. Hold on.
All right.
I'm going to do it fast.
Oh, God.
The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Chime checking account and a $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. On-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may very true.
That was if I may say so.
Yes.
A thing of beauty.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Rob Ford, you're here.
Yes.
It's been really, really too long since you dropped in to a visit. The last time Rob was going to come in, it was the day you were off, and Oscar and I had a huge fight, and we didn't do a show because the fight was that bad, and then it became a really big thing, and then we worked it out, and we made love, and everything was fine.
I felt we owed it to the listener to bring Rob Ford in today.
Well, you know what, that's how much it meant to me.
That's right,
I was
Bob.
I was a little giddy, to be perfectly honest with you.
It was fun when you saw him come in.
Look, the bottom line is this, that we are not on the Mike O'Mara Show. We are not Podbill Media, but we are associated closely with Podbill. They mean an awful lot to our boy Oscar because he runs the show over mm-hmm. there. And Rob Ford came to Podbill through the Mike O'Mara Show back in the day. Rob's been to my house up in Maine. It's just cool to have him. You're here. I'm talking about to have you develop a career out of this. And Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. Oscar talks about Rob Ford glowingly.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I sometimes pretend he's talking about me. What with the same name and all? I just have a few isolated files.
Oh, very, very sad.
It is sad.
Since you have left the Mike O'Mara Show, you have, how many years have you been married now?
May of 2020, so a little over 3 years.
3 years.
Congrats.
Married.
Thank you.
And
Dog owner?
Dog owner.
A pooch owner. And what is it, just for the listeners that might be curious, what is it exactly that you do around Podbill? What are your daily tasks?
I'm the official title on the business card is senior executive producer.
Okay.
The big project.
Senior or senor?
I work with, we have a great cast of different shows, all different kinds of, topic areas. Uh-huh. And I do a little bit in each of them in some way. My big dog is, I produce the Lincoln Project podcast with, Reed Galen, who's been on the show a bunch and a listener of the show. Yeah. Which is great.
That's wonderful. I didn't know that you were the head honcho for that one. That's
cool.
So that's
tells Reed what opinions to espouse.
Tells Reed everything to say.
That's right.
Reed Galen, one of our favorite guests on TMOS.
Yeah, so really in everything, I've got the audio focus because, that's really where I got started, like you said, with the Mike O'Mara Show kind of in the radio world. But, I learned about video and have some... I work with some video aspects of things as well, kind of all phases of production.
And I couldn't let you go without, just a comment or two. And I'm not going to put you on the spot. I have no intention of doing that. But your boy, Oscar.
Yes.
Who has brought you into the fold. Any outside of TMOS Oscar insights that you can offer us? Anything that might be mentioned, I realize his wife is on campus, but is there anything that we observe Oscar as everybody knows Oscar on this show. They know the Oscar. What is CEO Oscar like to work with on a daily basis?
Chief executive Oscar.
I'm curious. I always wonder what he's like. I know that he goes to Studio 54 with Charlie Burney like every night. I'm just curious.
All the way up to New York, they go to the discotheque.
The Skull and Bone Society.
No, I think it's Club Penguin where they go.
Club Penguin. Club Penguin.
So, what would people not know about Oscar in that environment compared to where he is every day on this show?
He really is a business guy. Even way more even keeled than he is on the show. A lot of times,
Has he ever had an outburst like he had with me that day when I had an outburst and he had an outburst?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But
okay.
I think
I'm not the only one.
Yeah, but I think with any business and growing, there's going to be those moments, and it's because
he's passionate.
Yeah, and that applies to everything he does, and I think that's for him more.
Are the hours that he claims to keep? Can you back that up? That the man is here morning, noon, and night. Is that accurate?
Well, noon and night.
That's all. You're off the hook, Rob Ford. You're off the hook. That's it. That's all we need. Oscar, good guy. We hope he's having a great time.
Good travels.
Probably still in the air, I would assume now. He left at the crack of dawn, but the morning. Yeah, take out the morning card. We're fine with that. Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
We are already up on the flip side. We'll do that when we come back. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Meara Show. Hi, everybody. You know, it's so hot, the kids are all eating frozen Tide Pops.
That's horrible. Who writes this stuff?
Yum, yum. But you can satisfy your needs at Dermglow. They've got the scoop on SunGuard, stuff I wear. I'm wearing it right now. The most epic sunscreen in town, and that's not all. Dermglow's got the whole kit for your skin's A-game. Swing by in person or hop on a virtual skin consultation. Trust me, the transformation is unreal. Hit up DermGlowSkin.com and discover what you've been missing. Lightning fast shipping, global delivery, and afterpay for your ease. Can't make up your mind? Opt for an e-gift card and be sure to tell them that noted jockey of discs, Jim Elliot, sent you. Jim knows how to read the meter on skincare. And he knows that Carla is the bomb. Get on it with quality estheticianizing. Woot, woot. Take it away, Rob.
Hello.
They've never been wanted there.
The flip side. Just a quick peek behind the curtain. It is always marvelous to me how fast you can fall into a voice that you don't know is coming, that is just written into a piece of copy, and it magically appears. I love it, love it, love it.
Jim Elliot, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you around the country who wouldn't know this, he a legendary disc jockey in D.C.
Yes.
With a famous, legendary morning show known as the Elliot and Woodside Show. Just
the first major morning radio contract in our market.
Oh, absolutely.
He really did very, very well. Gladys.
Very well.
Gladys.
Rob, don't touch my $60,000 Mercedes.
No, actually, Mike, point of order, it was, can you help me find my $60,000 automobile?
And now that would be $120,000.
Exactly. All right. So this is being called the greatest pass in Cleveland sports history, but it doesn't have anything to do with actual sports. There was a freighter coming down a river near near Cleveland, and a guy yelled, would you like a beer? And the guy on the boat says, yeah. He is about 60 yards offshore.
Oh, that's got a shot.
He made it.
It's a good pass. The boat says, thank you. Listen.
That's awesome.
But I just love that. I think that's a pretty, pretty great. So that's what's going on out there. Sad when your greatest sports legacy is a guy getting lit on the beach.
Yeah, and the most famous karaoke visit for the O'Meara crew ever in the history of visits. It was spectacular.
What's that? How do I miss this?
The Cleveland stop.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my
when
God.
When we did karaoke?
The Sly Fox.
How soon they forget?
Well,
Come on now.
I can't imagine why I would have forgotten that night.
The evening culminating in Oscar Santana lying on a pool table and me hitting him with a cue stick in the back of his thighs.
Face down. And I don't know.
Homoerotic fun.
Mike, I think really the culmination of the evening was me and Oscar spooning in bed the next day on the RV.
We were a late start that day.
There was a beverage called Red Stag.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Cinnamony.
Yeah. Not
delicious.
Not recommended. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do you wear your sunglasses? When you wear do you wear them like down a little bit? Do you wear them flush against your head?
Flush against my bridge of my nose.
Okay, well, this has become a thing with the millennials and the Generation Z saying, that's not how you want to do it. If you do that, you look like a dad.
I want to let you know what kind of just absolute bullying I've been receiving all day. All day. They think it's just so funny. Laugh it up. Because let me tell you something. The way I wear my sunglasses isn't good enough for these people.
It's trash.
These people.
It's a PR nightmare.
So I wear my sunglasses. You know, I'm sorry.
She wears them like you, Mike.
I wear them like this. You know, apparently you're not supposed to wear your sunglasses like this.
Like, so shoved into your face. Like, you look like the dad that wears a visor that's like...
I'm doing my best.
You gotta wear them right.
Yeah. So apparently it's a PR night. Oh, look, now they're even crooked. Charlie did step on these. Okay. So do we like the sunglasses? Are we this kind? Like, how are you wearing your sunglasses? Like, you do look cool.
Like the normal not way or the dad way?
I wear mine down on my nose a little bit.
Not I think like, they can go to hell.
Ah, wow.
They're a PR nightmare. Girls.
That's a PR nightmare.
All of that's a PR nightmare.
So you're supposed to put that down like this? That's
a little
how we're
bit,
supposed
yeah.
to look down?
Yeah,
I'll like bite that. Me. No. I'm trying to protect my eyes because I'm 64. I'm slowly losing my eyesight.
My eyes. My
I'll be
eyes.
Like my Chihuahua Frankie and walk into Jaw Jams after a while. It's going to be horrible. Is that all we have?
No,
we have
two more, actually.
Two more. Okay.
That
two
are both
more.
Quick. This right. is great. This is a Las Vegas cantina. Mexican restaurant with a strolling mariachi band. And I can understand that can be annoying at times, but these people took it to a different angle. They tipped them and said, I bet you can't play Yeah by Usher. And,
well. One of the most famous club songs in the history of club songs.
Yes. And it's the big guitar and the small guitar and a trumpet.
Thank you for the horn. The horn makes it.
Yes, exactly. And also, Mike, last tape. This is one I love. If I had this in my house, I would be so happy. It's a door that has been mishung. It's not quite level on its swing.
Okay.
And so every time it swings, the sound it makes resembles that of a cackling witch.
That is really coming from
yes, because it hits the doorstop and the wiggling of the door makes it sound like a witch.
And your little dog, too.
Yeah. Can we do that again, Mac?
One more time, Mac? I can see it. Oh, so it's like...
yeah, wiggling.
Shimmying.
Yeah, but isn't that great? I would say... Oh, thank you, Mac.
Hold on, one more time.
Mike, that's
you
all
know,
I
for
have.
Some reason, I was reflecting on my marriages when that played. I don't
you
know
too?
Why.
You had a was. Reflection too?
It was weird. We got to take a powder. Hey, thanks for
Yay,
joining us, Rob
Ford.
Oh, thank you.
Great
thank
anytime
you.
Oscar's not here, you have an open invitation. Love having you sit in. It was great rhythm on the show today. Rob Spiewak, fantastic job. Thank you all very, very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you for the bonus show. Don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to it or you want to get it for a friend, go to MikeOMaraShow.com and get yourself a bonus show.
Yes.
You won't read.
You don't,
Reddit.
You know, you dip your toe in, buy one. You can
Let's
buy them singular.
Let's do something odd tomorrow, shall we?
Oh, yes, we shall.
We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. For Rob Ford and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Connect Four, undefeated.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I don't know when it's going to stop. It's just continuously playing multiple weapons, but thank you very much.
I think you got all the rats, though.
And then I have to
Swiss with
this.
Cheese.
The name is Bond. James Bond. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.